We're going to be in Matthew chapter 5 in our Bibles and also John 15. And we're working through a series I've titled The Greatest Sermon Ever Preached. Now, this greatest sermon that was ever preached is Jesus' Sermon on the Mount. It's this time here where the Lord stopped with his disciples and started pouring out what the kingdom of heaven looks like and what a true Christian looks like. He's not laying out how to become a Christian, he's actually laying out the attributes of a Christian and how what it looks like to live in the kingdom, the way that he always intended for it to be. You see, humans are trying to figure out over and over and over what this life is all about. How are we supposed to be living? What are we supposed to be up to? We seek things every day. We're in pursuit of this endless pursuit, this journey of things that just don't seem to satisfy. And we are living out things that just don't seem to work very well. Jesus sets the record straight on this Sermon on the Mount as he lists out the Beatitudes, really the picture, the attributes that we are to have in our lives as Christians. And I would say that manifest in our lives as Christians without even trying. It is who we are because the Holy Spirit of God lives in us. Matthew chapter 5, we are in our Bibles. The title of the message today is Christians Will Be Persecuted. Christians will be persecuted. Now, I know that's very straightforward. You couldn't think of anything more clever, Pastor? No. I thought through all kinds of different things, but I just felt, you know what? This is the truth. This is who we are, and this is what happens. And it's going to come. And so today's sermon, it is a slight warning. It is slight preparation. I think sometimes preachers like to cover up the message a little bit and the truth a little bit because they don't want to reveal to you the whole truth because it may scare you away. You see, we don't want to tell you the whole truth. We want to kind of hold back some things because, hey, that's not very attractive. And maybe people won't want to really walk with Christ. But I'm telling you here at Legacy, we are working hard, and it's my heart's desire to see a healthy church. Not only a healthy church, but a church full of believers, real Christians. You want to know why? So when a non-believer walks into this place, they experience the truth of God. They experience the real, genuine love of Christ. Want them to experience that at the highest level. We are to be that picture of Christ to the world. And so that's where these sermons come about. We teach right through the Bible, and as the verses come up, boom, we're talking about persecution today. Who would have ever thought, you know, the one of the last sermons of the year would be on persecution? Well, God did, and he's showing it to us in his word. Some say Christians are facing the worst persecution they have ever faced in the history of the world. Now, I don't know if that's because there are more Christians than there ever have been in the world. Thus, more persecution because there's more Christians spread throughout the world. But when you really weigh out how bad they had it in the early church days and how bad we have it here in America, not even close, right? But when you look at other countries in the world and how bad they have it and you compare it to the times of the early church, well, we see some great comparisons there. There is definitely a great attack on Christians, but it's really in other countries. You know, Christians back in that day in the early church will even look at the disciples and the persecutions they faced later on in the sermon. But the persecution they were facing were things like being crucified. Anybody been crucified lately or know of any Christians here in America crucified? I don't think so. Impaled with a spear and then dipped in some type of oil or wax and lit on fire. Behold the light of the world, Nero screamed. The Caesar of that day. Stoned, we know. Yes, rocks. Pushed off of a hill or cliff, and then giant rocks and boulders thrown down upon a person, killing them. Fed to lions, we know, the Romans did. For what? What did they do wrong? They preached the gospel. They simply lived as Christ lived. They taught people to observe his commands. They discipled and they baptized, and that was enough to make them be treated like criminals and put them to death. And guess what happened during that time of persecution? The church flourished. It did not suppress the church. Instead, it did the opposite. It scattered the Christians to other regions, and they ministered the gospel everywhere they went, and the church expanded. Isn't that amazing? I think sometimes we get in fear. We're just like, no, society is coming against us, and they're going to take away the Bibles, and we're not going to be able to go to church anymore and all that. You know what might happen? We might see some real Christians show up. We'll be starving just to see a Bible page in our hands because they've all been taken away from us. We'll be doing everything we can to memorize them. We'll be meeting in homes secretly and ministering to one another and encouraging one another because we don't know if they're going to be banging on our door next week. Just striving, just trying to work out our salvation. This will never stop. Did you know that the gospel will never be snuffed out? I have good news, family. The word of God will never be taken away from the earth. Ever. The gospel will never be snuffed out, and Christians will never be extinct. You want to know why? Because God's in control. He's in control of this whole thing, and no one gets past him. He moves the heart of kings. He does what he wills. And he allows even persecution to come upon nations, even his own people we see in the Old Testament. I'm telling you that God has a plan even in the persecution that we are facing today, this mild persecution here in America. But I think sometimes we get scared because we don't know what's on the horizon, huh? What are our children going to experience? What's the next generation going to experience? Is it all going down? We may need persecution here in America in order to wake up. Preacher, you can't preach that stuff, man. You're going to scare away the people. Listen, I'm telling you, when you look at China, when you look at these nations that have to really live out their Christianity, we see explosion of the gospel and we see conversion, real conversions. We're not talking about people saying, I believe in Jesus, and then they live like hell. Or people over here saying, I go to church, but they don't have a single regard for God's commands and walking with him. We're talking about real Christians. Their life depends on it. When they make a decision to follow Christ, they're being baptized into death sometimes. They're being baptized into persecution immediately. Their whole family may be put to death because they're choosing to follow Christ. What does it cost us to follow Christ in this day? I mean, it's cold today. What is our persecution, you know? We actually got the heaters cranking. Can you feel that? It's like that's as good as it gets, people. It's so funny because when we first came into the gym, it was so hot in here, we were sweating. Remember, we had the coolers going, and we even purchased ice blocks, and we put them on these swamp coolers to blow cold air. You're like, that's making me cold. I know. It was so hot. I'm sweating up here on the pulpit, and I'm up here on my leather, like just trying to stay warm. This is as bad as it gets for us today. We will go home and worship if we want. We will turn on Christian radio if we want. We have 3 or 4 Bibles sitting at home if we want to read them. And here we are whining and complaining about our lives. In the list of the top 50 persecuted Christian places in the world, check this out. Top persecuted places in the whole world, 50 countries, America is not even on the list. No, number one, North Korea. And the 9 after that, the top 10 are basically Africa and the Middle East. Predominantly the Middle East, but we see Africa, there's some huge, it's number 2 there. We see some huge attacks, people being killed today, right now, just for saying they follow Jesus and his teachings. Christianity has never been popular from the beginning. Did you know that? And so if Christianity starts to become popular, there's something wrong with that Christianity. Jesus wasn't popular. His disciples weren't popular. The early church was not popular. Christianity is not popular today. And the true Christianity that should be preached and the one that Jesus preached is not popular and will not be accepted by the masses. So if you see the masses accepting it, you know something is wrong, because Jesus promised that we would be hated by the world, that we would be alienated by the world, and that we would be persecuted by the world. Doesn't mean we shouldn't try to love and reach people. But let's look at this beatitude here today, Matthew chapter 5. Can we stand for the reading of God's word? You're like, yes, I need to warm up. That's fine. Stand for the reading of God's word. It's His word we look to. It's His word that ministers to us. It's not my words, okay? We look to His word. We're going to read through all the Beatitudes, and we will look at our final one today. We've marched through every single one. Isn't that amazing? I love it. Matthew chapter 5, starting in verse 1. Here's Jesus. It says, "Seeing the crowds, He went up on the mountain, and He sat down, and His disciples came to Him. And He opened His mouth, and He taught them, saying, 'Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be satisfied. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall receive mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called sons of God.'" Here it is, verse 10. "Blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven." You can be seated. Our final beatitude today, interesting, on our final week of the year. Blessed are those who are persecuted. Would you say persecuted with me, please? Persecuted for righteousness' sake. Would you say righteousness with me? Righteousness. One more time, please. Righteousness' sake, okay? Righteousness' sake. "For theirs is the kingdom of heaven." Notice that the first and last beatitude end with the same phrase. "For theirs is the kingdom of heaven." It shows Christ is concluding these beatitudes. He starts with the kingdom. He ends with the kingdom. Notice, "Blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake" comes right after "Blessed are the peacemakers." Peacemakers and persecuted. Peacemakers and persecuted. Attacked, but still peacemakers. Blessed, as we've studied and seen 10 times now, the word blessed is happy. Happy are who? Fill in the blank. Every single one of these beatitudes. Now, we don't do these things to become happy. No. Christians who have the Holy Spirit living in them and already will automatically live these attributes, live these ways, are a blessed, happy people. Doesn't mean we're always happy, right? Just reflect back on Christmas. It's a wonderful time, and maybe we're irritated by a couple things with family and friends, I'm sure. Blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake. This word persecuted is described as this. The biblical definition is to make run or flee. Interesting. To make run or to flee. To persecute is to cause someone to run away. To put to flight, to drive away, to run swiftly in order to catch a person or thing, to run after, to press on. Figuratively, of one who is in a race, who runs swiftly to reach the goal. To pursue in a hostile manner. I think that the best word picture we would see in, the best picture we see in the New Testament was Saul of Tarsus' persecution on the Christians. This is the Apostle Paul. Remember, he was pursuing them, chasing after them, throwing them in prison, beating them, even overseeing the stoning of Stephen. So we see this pursuit to persecute. Now, it says, for righteousness' sake. What is righteousness? This is walking rightly with God. This is being made right with God, in right standings with Him. This walking rightly is a righteousness. For righteousness' sake. Basically, the righteous will be persecuted, okay? The Christian will be persecuted, and they are blessed for it, Jesus is saying. Let's first identify what persecuted for righteousness' sake is not. because there are a lot of misconceptions here. I think that a lot of people think that they're being persecuted, but they're not really being persecuted. They're like, oh, you know, this is happening to me. I'm being persecuted. No, you're not. I mean, there are a lot of misconceptions there. And so I'd like to identify those first so we can clearly identify what being persecuted for righteousness' sake is. So point number one, persecuted for not being Christian. This is what it's not. For not being a Christian, you think that you're acting like a Christian, living like a Christian. But we are not living Christian, even in some areas or in some situations. And because something bad happens, many times people identify that as persecution. I think sometimes, especially in America, many Christians think they're being persecuted for righteousness, but it's actually just for being weird, okay? Or being self-righteous, right? Or just being an idiot, okay, to your coworkers. Oh, you know, that you get backlash and you're like, they're persecuting me. No. You know, you go home and pray, oh Lord, you know, blessed are the persecuted, when you are the one creating this persecution. It's not true persecution. And if it is a pursuing of, in the definition of the word, it's not for righteousness' sake. It's for idiot's sake. It's for weirdness' sake. It's for self-righteousness' sake. It's for all these other reasons that are not helpful. And we need to identify this because we need not go home praying, Lord, stop the persecution, when we are creating it. Okay? We can bring many unnecessary issues upon ourselves by not being righteous. Then the pride of our hearts kicks in and we call it persecution. If you treat people like dirt, they're going to treat you badly. Did you know that? 1 + 1 = 2. Okay, it's very, very simple. If you treat people mean and rude at your workplace or wherever you're at, they're going to be mean to you. Don't default that to persecution. Oh, life is so bad, and it's because you created it, okay? It's because you're just a jerk, and you need to stop being a jerk to those people. Don't do that to your family. You're a jerk to your family. Oh, they persecute me because I'm a Christian. No, it's because you're a jerk, okay? And you're a bad representation of Christ in those moments. You should repent of that. Get right with the Lord. Go make a peace with your family. Love and serve them as Christ has done for you. Now, we're not here to be self-righteous and better than everyone else. It's the opposite of Christ. That is not righteousness' sake at all, okay? That's jerk's sake, okay? Can I? Is that a word? I just made it up. What about plain sin bringing problems? For sin's sake. Blessed are the persecuted for sin's sake. No, it doesn't say that. It's not persecution because we murdered somebody and we end up in jail and we say, oh, I'm suffering for the gospel in prison. No, you're not. You did wrong, and that's why you're in jail, and you're not suffering for the gospel in jail. You're paying your time, buddy. That's what you did. That you got to pay your time. You got to do what is necessary. That's fine. For lying, for stealing, for cheating, it's not persecution. These are repercussions. We got to pay the piper, okay? Are we forgiven in heaven? Oh, yes. God is gracious and merciful. He forgives his people. But that doesn't mean we don't have to face the music. Doesn't mean we don't have to pay the piper. So you got to be very careful. Christians think, oh, I can sin and grace will abound. And God's going to be gracious in every situation in my life. He's not going to let me get caught. Au contraire, my friend. Be careful. Galatians 6:7, do not be deceived. That's you. Don't deceive yourself. God is not mocked. Whatever someone sows, that he will reap. Okay? For the one who sows his own flesh will from the flesh reap corruption. There it is. But the one who sows to the Spirit will from the Spirit reap eternal life. Let us not grow weary of doing good, for in due season we will reap if we do not give up. So then, as we have opportunity, let us do good to everyone, especially to those who are of the household of faith. Don't create problems for yourself. We have enough problems in life already. Cancer is coming. Financial problems are coming. You know, this situation is going to happen. The car is going to break. We got enough disease, disaster, and torment in the world already. We don't need to create persecution for ourselves. That's not persecution for righteousness' sake. That's just Christians once again reaping what they've sown. What about blessed are the persecuted for self-righteousness' sake? No, it doesn't say that. Self-righteous people are the worst. You want to know why? This is a pharisaical tendency, okay? It's the person who looks holy on the outside, but is full of religion on the inside. That's scary. Look holy on the outside, but full of religion on the inside. Looking down on others, putting others below themselves. Oh, I don't need Jesus as much as that person. Lord, I hope you help them, because I don't need that much help. Really? Are we not all sinners? Do we not all need Christ the same? We all need him. Sure, somebody may be just coming to faith and getting their life cleaned up, but shame on us if we look down on another person and treat them lower than ourselves as if we are holy and we have arrived and they have not yet, but one day they'll be like me. Is that Jesus? That's not righteousness' sake. That is self-righteousness' sake, and that is creating persecution for sure, but it's not the good kind. You're not blessed for that. We want to eliminate that from the church. That's the elder brother syndrome in the prodigal son story. That is that picture. That is that syndrome. That is, oh, Father, how dare you, you know, help him. He was a sinner off and far. I have been here reading my Bible every day and sitting here at home not doing what he's doing, my younger brother. And here you are giving him the robe and the ring and throwing a party for him. He's looking down on his younger brother who is coming to faith. Self-righteousness is a disease in the church. We need to get that out of here. We're all sinners in need of a Savior. That's why we go to the table today, to partake of communion. Every week we have an opportunity to go to the table, look to Christ, see that we've sinned before him. We still need the Savior just as much as we did the first day. And that's what keeps us down low, okay? Recognize your sin, turn to your Christ, enjoy and taste of the goodness of that forgiveness and grace again, and choose to love and serve the person next to you, not walk around creating conflict, being a self-righteous jerk, just thinking you're better than everyone else. That creates disaster, and it's a real shameful thing on Christianity. You want to know why? It's just a bad name for us, you know? You think you're better than me. I hope that they'd be so broken by your humility that they just say, look, I know that I'm not walking in the way I should be with Christ, but man, your example just moves me. I'm not as good as you. But it's not in a demeaning way. It's not in a hurtful way. They just see that you are walking closely with Christ and they want what you have. We got to get away from that. It's so funny when we first come to Christ, we got all these sin problems. Big sins everywhere. We're trying hard to get them dealt with, right? You know, walking with Christ for a while, you kind of got the big sins dealt with, and you kind of walk around like, man, I am a good guy. I mean, I kind of got it together, you know? Like, I mean, I read every day, you know, I go to church every week, and there isn't any too much big sin in my life. And, you know, we it sneaks up on us, and it can create a lot of disaster. And so we need to make sure that we are not creating problems around us, and then though the problems have been created, we actually get self-righteous in the moment and think, oh, they only don't like me because I'm so righteous. Really? No, they don't like you because you're not righteous. You're not living like Christ. And so there's a fine balance there that we need to find, and we're going to look at that because the world did hate the most righteous one, that is Christ. Yet at the same time, Jesus was backhanding the Pharisees every time he had the opportunity because these dudes are walking around with their robes on just thinking they're the holiest guys in town. And Jesus is like, you guys are dead. Yeah, that's religion. That is not a relationship with God, and that is not the example. So, and everybody hated them as well, you see. What about fanatics? Fanatics over zealous Christians. The foolish Christian, you know. Completely way too far. And we've all done this. I was just reminiscing with someone. Who was this? Yes. Oh, that's where it was. I was out to dinner. And one of the people we were out to dinner with is a principal. And she wanted to hear the story of how when I first came to Christ, I was vice president of my school. And so I took the butcher paper because we were in student government. And, you know, if you have access to it. And I wrote the Ten Commandments. literally like as big as this wall right here. I mean, and I plastered it from not all the way up there, but maybe like three quarters of the way down. I plastered the Ten Commandments on my school walls because I wanted everybody to see their sin there at Ramona High School. I was crazy. I don't know what I was saying. I just said, you know what? We need to let the school know where they're in sin and what they're doing wrong, and we're going to set this straight. And so I wrote out the Ten Commandments, and then I wrote illustrations, like a little like example of that, of how they were breaking the law. And then I taped it up there right before lunchtime. And again, the lady I was talking to there, she's a principal, and so she wanted to hear this story. Like, what did your principal think of that, you know? And I ended up, she said, Josh, you don't take that down. You're gonna get suspended, you know? And then arrogant, I'm like, I'm not taking that down. I will suffer persecution and be suspended if that's what it takes. You idiot, you know? Like, I can just see, like, what an idiot, you know? Like, I probably meant well, but just way too radical, way foolish, way zealous. And maybe we need a little bit of that in our Christian faith today because we grow, you know, just so mundane in our rhythms. But, you know, we got to be careful not to be over radical. You know, the Christian lingo can really get to people. I don't know if you know this, but, you know, when you just, we're Christianese, you know, just too much Christian talk nonstop, people can't even relate with you. God bless you, brother, covered in the blood, you know, praise Jesus, happy to have you here, holy is his name. Look at you like, what planet are you from? You know, like, who are you? And you're like, suffering for righteousness' sake. Not really, you know, that's not helping, you know, the cause here. Now, I get it. You know, you want to say, hey, praise the Lord, you know, it just comes out, you know, so that's fine, you know, but we need to find that balance in the way that we hold ourselves, and we need not be over radical. You don't need to hold a sign that says you're all going to hell and scream at people on the corner. It's not helpful. It's not helpful. It's, you know, these hell signs, you know, I get what they're trying to do there, but they're missing the point. They think that they're identifying with Paul the Apostle and open-air preaching in the New Testament. That's not that. You're missing it. And that's what we got to be careful about. It is a balance. But we need to find it, man. We're called to, and it should naturally be coming out of us. I'll just do one more here because we need to move forward. But political stance even. You know, we got the elections coming up, and we like to side with parties, and we like to make these big statements online. Careful. What are you doing? What's the point? And everybody's hammering you online, right? And you're like, persecuted for righteousness' sake. Look at my Facebook feed, you know? It's like that you, are you even aligning with Christ? Yes, Jesus was a Republican. Don't you know that? Are you sure? I don't think so. I don't think he'd be siding with either party, friends. He'd be picking from both sides and choosing what is righteous from all the parties and showing what is righteous, I should say. We need to be careful even to align ourselves with a political party. And because we're persecuted, because we're standing with them, that is not persecuted for righteousness' sake. Matthew 10:16, behold, I am sending you out as sheep into the midst of wolves. Jesus said this. So be wise as serpents and soft as doves, or innocent as doves. You see the balance there? Wisdom, kindness. Wisdom and kindness. 1 Peter 4:14, be happy when you are insulted for being a Christian, for then the glorious Spirit of God rests upon you. But verse 15, listen. If you suffer, however, it must not be for murder, stealing, making trouble, prying into other people's affairs. That's gossip, being a busybody. Verse 16, but it is no shame to suffer for being a Christian or being righteous. So if you're suffering for all that other stuff, that's not persecution for righteousness' sake. Know that. But if you're suffering for being like Jesus, which is what we're going to look at now, that is what it means to be for righteousness' sake. Point two, persecuted for Christ's sake. Martin Lloyd-Jones puts it this way. Being righteous, practicing righteousness, really means being like the Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, they are blessed who are persecuted for being like him. What is more, those who are like him always will be persecuted. Did you hear that last statement? Those who are like him will always be persecuted. It's true. John 15 is our other passage, if you're turned there already. I'm going to read verses 18 to 20. It's just three scriptures here, but I want you to see Jesus' words. He says this to his disciples, John 15:18. If the world hates you, did you hear that? The word hate in the Bible. If the world hates you, know that it has hated me before it hated you. If you were of the world would love you as its own, but because you are not of the world, but I chose you out of the world, therefore the world what? Hates you. Remember that the word that I said to you, a servant is not greater than his master. If they persecuted me, they will also persecute you. Okay? Is a servant greater than his master? Of course not. Jesus said, if they hated me, they're going to hate you. If they persecuted me, they're going to persecute you. 2 Timothy 3:12. 2 Timothy 3:12, write it down. Indeed, all who desire to live a godly life in Christ Jesus will be persecuted. Anyone who chooses to live a godly life, anyone here trying to live a godly life? You will be persecuted. Bottom line, it will happen. It will come upon us. It is promised to us. A godly life just flat out is offensive to others. Did you know that? Because a godly life will automatically condemn others. It's weird how that works. But when light shows up in a dark room, it can't hide, and it impacts everything around it. And so I would encourage you to pursue the humble, kind, joyful, peaceful route and holy route. And when you show up, people will already be convicted and condemned to a certain degree. See, I used to carry my Bible around back in school as well. And when I walked into a classroom, I'd start talking Bible with people and debating. And again, I reference back to that and look at it just ignorance, because they would get so angry and they'd be yelling at me and screaming and you don't know what you're talking, you're a bigot, all this. And I kind of was a little bit, you know, because I didn't know what I was talking about. And I was acting like I knew what I was talking about. And I was putting all kinds of things down because I was ignorant. But I was zealous, and that's not a good balance. But I'm telling you, if you just pursue Christ and try to be like him, walk like him, look to him and see how he moves and walks in the New Testament, live that out, it's going to be offensive everywhere, okay? Jesus was the kindest, most humble, joyful man to ever walk the earth, yet the world hated him. I'm just going to try to be kind and nice to everyone. You're not going to be as kind or as nice as Jesus, and the world hated him. They crucified him. So if you're good with everybody, there's probably something wrong. We can't be good with everybody, because Jesus wasn't good with everybody, and if anybody could have done it, it should have been him. He spoke the truth, but loved people, and the world hated him. Most people today in the world say that they respect Jesus. Like, hey, we're cool with Jesus. Jesus is my homeboy. No, he's not. He's Lord and King and Master. He's not a homeboy. He is the creator of the universe. Yes, I get it. He calls you friend. But that is only because you've made him Lord and King. And he's to be treated and exalted at that level. And I think the world wants to be cool with Christ. The world wants to be good with Jesus. But you know what the fact of the matter is? They say that they're good and they're cool with Jesus, but they're not. It's because they don't know him. If they came in contact with him like people did 2,000 years ago, they would hate him and they would crucify him, because when they looked into his face, doesn't matter if he's the rich young ruler, you look him in the face and say, go sell everything you have and then you can follow me. And he loved him at the same time and told him the truth. And the man went away what? Not his friend, but sorrowful. You see, Jesus would look everyone in the face today just as he does through his word and tell them the truth and love them to the end. So I'm telling you, if Jesus walked the earth, if he came here to LA, they would crucify him. Just like they did 2,000 years ago. So we need to stop this society saying everything's cool with Jesus, because it's not cool with Jesus. Everything is not okay. The world is living and running from him. They are against him and they are Christ's enemies, the Bible tells us. It's the truth. I know we want to soften it as best as we can so that we can win more people, but I, I don't want the softening any longer, because what it's doing is it's creating a very watered down Christianity where everyone's a Christian. And we don't ever get to see the true article. We need true Christians in this society. That's the only thing that's going to change it. That's the only thing that's going to bring transformation. And so we need to stop watering it down. We need to stop letting everyone know that Jesus is good with you, because he's not good with them. They hated him. They would hate him today. They hated him then. They will hate him now. It's just they don't know who he is. They're not seeing him up close. The media has watered it down. The Jesus watered down so much. Did you see the picture that came forth through the news of the true picture of Jesus? Did you guys see that? Anybody see that? They showed the blonde hair, blue eyed Jesus. Oh, right? That classic picture that grandma had on her wall, right? And then they showed what scientists have come up and depicted that Jesus would really look like. And they put it up. He looks like a Middle Eastern guy, you know, probably Arab, dark skin. You know, he was a Jew, obviously, so from Middle East. And so they give the true depiction. And the way that they spin it is, look at the Christians have been telling you what the wrong Jesus looks like the whole time. I'm like sitting there like, I cannot believe people are believing this. All you got to do is read your Bible. It says that he was not to be looked upon as something special, that he had no special features, Isaiah 53. And then second, it says that he was Jew. It says he was a carpenter, so he worked in the sun a lot, so he'd have dark skin. It said he had a beard and long hair. And you remember how many times the disciples, they had to point out who Jesus was? No one could identify him. He didn't have a halo. I'm like, just read your Bibles, and you would see who Jesus really looked like and what he was. I just can't believe how they pull the wool over Christians these days, and the Christians are like fumbling, like, oh, he's not the blue hair, blonde eye, you know, blue hair. Yeah, that's fine. Blue eye, blonde hair, Jesus, you know. Oh no, we got it wrong for all these years. No, just read your Bible. It said it all the time. Every Bible student knew that long ago, but the media loves to take that and just smooth this thing out so that they have an edge on Jesus. Christians don't. I want to look at a couple biblical pictures of persecution because it's important for us. I'll do it quickly. Number one is Daniel. True persecution. Do you remember? Daniel was just a man who sought the Lord in his day. Remember, the Bible says that he prayed 3 times a day. Every day. Morning, afternoon, and evening. He just prayed 3 times a day. That was what he did. Why? Why did he do that? Because he's religious? No, because he loved God. He just wanted to be in communion with his God. He prayed, and then all of a sudden, some people became jealous of him because he was righteous. And they went to the king and they said, there's this guy named Daniel who, when it comes time to bow down, he actually worships another God, and he won't bow down to you, and he actually prays to another God. And so we should catch him. And that's exactly what they try to do. They catch him. And they throw him in the lion's den, we know, because he was praying to another god and they didn't like that. So he was persecuted for true righteousness' sake, but he stood his ground. The Lord protected him. We know the story. In 2 Corinthians 11, Paul the apostle, we know, was once the persecutor of the church. But then when he became a Christian, he then was being persecuted by the enemies of God, those that he used to run with. Listen to what he says about himself. Just for preaching the gospel, just for planting churches, just for trying to live a holy life, this is what happened to Paul. He went through great issues. 2 Corinthians 11, verse 23 says, are they servants of Christ? I am a better one. I am talking like a madman with a far greater labors, far more imprisonments. He says, countless beatings and often near death. He says, 5 times I receive at the hands of the Jews the 40 lashings less one, or 40 minus one, 39 lashings. This is, yes, with the whip and the bone, ripping his back open. This happened to Paul 5 times, okay? 3 times I was beaten with rods. I was once stoned, he said. 3 times I was shipwrecked. A night and a day, and that's when he was in prison. A night and a day I was adrift at sea. He goes on and on to show the persecution. He's being pushed out of cities. He's being chased out constantly, running away, fleeing, all because he just wants people to come to know Jesus. It's just trying to preach the gospel and love and serve people, and they hate that. He's trying to live a righteous life, and they hate that. They persecute him. Jesus, our King, is the greatest example. Isaiah 53:7 says, he was oppressed, he was afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth. Like a lamb, he was led to the slaughter. Like a sheep that was before its shears, he was silent, and so he opened not his mouth. Persecuted. Are we being persecuted today? Not really. We think we are, but we haven't even begun. I wonder what will happen to the churches if true persecution just broke out today. Like, church, are you with me on this? Am I going to be preaching to like 10 people? Because we're scared the cops are going to show up, you know? Are we going to lose the school, the contract, and all of a sudden we don't have a place to meet? We'll be outside. Well, it's a little cold this week, so I'm not going to church to worship. You see, American Christianity has kind of programmed us to think and walk with Christ a certain way. We even convinced ourselves that we were being persecuted. You know, in Tanzania, just this last month, Voice of the Martyrs, 7 churches were destroyed. They were lit on fire. They took gasoline and they threw it in, on the insides. These guys broke in. They stole all the instruments and all the chairs so they can't worship anymore. And they burned the thing to the ground. Tanzania. This is happening now. In China, 2 pastors jailed along with 50 other members. The police just busted the doors and they just straight up arrested them. And now these 2 pastors sit in prison for singing hymns and preaching the gospel. You serious? This is the world that we're living in, but it's not here yet, but it may be coming. We know that all the apostles died terrible deaths. I had a list here, I was going to read through them for you, but just know, beheading took place 2,000 years ago. They were crucified, some upside down, some in an X fashion, on an X type cross, then filleted. One was thrown off the pinnacle of the temple. And because he didn't die, after falling 100 feet, they took rods and they beat him to death. They were shot through with arrows. They were speared. They were cut in half. They tried to kill John the apostle, remember? They put him in a pot of boiling oil and he wouldn't die, so they banned him to the island of Patmos where he wrote the book of Revelation. These are the apostles. This is the beginning of Christianity. And Christianity has only made it this far on the back of persecution, not on nice, easy roads. And I'm telling you that it's only going to flourish through persecution again. Jesus promised it to us. Don't run from persecution. That's my final point. I'll close on this. Don't run from persecution. Jesus promised it. Matthew 10:22, he said this, "You will be hated by everyone because of me, but the one who stands firm to the end will be saved." Matthew 24:9 says, "Then you will be handed over to be persecuted and put to death." Jesus told this to his boys. Guys, come in here. This is Matthew 24. Remember the scene? He said, "Lord, tell us about the end. We want to know what's going to happen in the end." He said, "You really want to know? Come close. Come close. I have a secret to tell you." "Yes, are we going to be the greatest in the kingdom? Come close. Come close." "You will be handed over to be persecuted and put to death. You'll be hated by all nations because of me." Wow, thanks for the pep talk, Lord. We really appreciate that. Thank you. And maybe you're feeling that way today, like, "Pastor, what are you..." I'm going to tell you the truth so that when it comes, you're ready. You're not running. You already know it's on the horizon. You stand firm in the faith. We don't compromise. We know that we're going to be persecuted. We know we're going to lose jobs. We know we're going to lose opportunities. We know that all that is going to happen because we follow Jesus. Luke 6:26 says, Jesus said this, "Woe to you when all people speak well of you, for so their fathers did to the false prophets." And I'm telling you, there are preachers and churches today who are trying to be well spoken of by every media, by every person in the world, by every person in the world. They're trying to do everything they can to be spoken well of by them, because I get it. It's a motive that they just want to be able to connect with as many people as possible and hopefully win people to Christ. But what they don't do is they're watering down the gospel so much that people can't even get saved through their preaching. People can't even hear clearly what it means to follow Jesus. They hear something and they're like, oh, okay, I understand what you said. I'm going to follow Jesus the way that you told me. They start following Jesus the way they told him, and we don't see true Christianity at all. We see a bunch of false converts, and we see churches that are completely ineffective in the community, in the city. And I would tell you that if persecution comes on the nation today, those churches will be empty because there are no one there who truly will follow Christ to death. And so that's why we got to talk about these things. Blessed are the persecuted for righteousness' sake. Theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Righteousness' sake. So church, live like Jesus. You don't have to create problems for yourself. Just live like Jesus. Persecution will come. Expect it. Keep living like him. Why? Because this is not our home. That was going to be the title of my message, Christians Not Welcome. But I thought that was, you know, it's... There's signs everywhere. Christians are not welcome on this earth. Because the title deed is in the hands of the enemy. And so, our home is heaven. Don't be bummed out. Don't be sad. Don't be broken over these things when your family comes against you or your friends or your workplace or even LA, Los Angeles, comes against this church. Be prepared. Know that these times are coming. Christ called us to go through these things. Heaven is our goal, and we will be persecuted if we're Christians. It's an opportunity for us to come to the communion table. We'll close in a song and at the communion table, and it's an opportunity to reflect on our own lives, whether or not we're just creating persecution, not through a Christian life, or are we really living out what Christ has called us to, what he has saved us to, recognizing that, hey, we're not here to win the approval of man. We want the approval of God first, and as we live for the approval of him and him alone, people will be saved. People will be changed. Legacy, I want you to be a healthy church. I want you to be a grounded church, roots that go very deep, so that we will endure the storms of the future. Amen.